Fire Project family, how's it going? Now, we've partnered with an amazing brand, Bubs Naturals. We actually have some of the products on the table. They're MCT oil powder, their collagen protein, and this f***er.
Yeah.
This f***er. They're apple cider vinegar gummies, okay? One thing I want to let you guys know real quick is that the Bubs products, number one, they mix super well. So I've had different MCT oils, and I've talked to people who've used MCT oil and mentioned to the coffee, and it doesn't mix well. Well, their MCT oil is amazing on coffee in the morning just on its own, but their collagen protein, and collagen is great for joint health, hair, skin, nails, all that stuff, that also mixes just so f***ing well into coffee and everything. That's the one of the crazy things. But secondly, these freaking apple cider vinegar gummies, I don't ever supplement apple cider vinegar, but they put them in gummies, which is great. Two per serving. We have literally eaten one of these full things. Andrew and I have split this. And Mark has to be so careful. Like, we give him two and we take it away because it tastes so good, but it's actually really good for you. So, Andrew, tell him how to get it.
Yes, guys, seriously, have just the recommended dosage. Just have two of those gummies. Don't have two full bottles the way we do. Head over to bubsnaturals.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off your entire order. And what's really cool about Bubs Naturals is they actually donate 10% of all their profits to various charities, starting with the Glenn Doherty Memorial Foundation. Again, bubsnaturals.com, promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off. Links to them down in the description, as well as the podcast show notes.
Pull up that buff woman again, please.
Who is this buff woman?
I don't know, but
the CrossFit games are going on and there's some wild shit going on. There's some really, really strong, amazing athletes that are busting their ass. And I saw this girl on Rogue's Instagram page. She picked up a 250-pound, I think it was 250-pound sandbag. She shouldered that shit and she just looked amazing. And I was like, that is just so dope.
Danny Spiegel?
Look her up. Danny Spiegel, you say?
Look at this effort. Fucking sick.
Hey, the strength to just hinge that like that.
The strength. And then on top of it, it's really good form.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does it with a big old smile on her face, and she's fired up. And look at the physique. She looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good abs. Thighs are looking thick. Strong as shit. It's fucking amazing. I don't know if people understand how difficult that shit is. You know, a 250-pound bag is very, very awkward to try to lift. And I think I saw some of the guys, they were lifting some of the sandbags. They were, you know, 300. And I think the guy that won it last year, Justin, I think he did, I saw him do like a 330 or something like that. It's impressive. You know, you got to keep in mind these athletes, they don't weigh nearly as much as the strongman guys do.
Mm-hmm.
So strongman people are lifting up all kinds of crazy shit, but they also, a lot of times, weigh 300 or 400 pounds.
Is that sandbag thing new? I've never seen that in any old CrossFit game stuff.
It's a little newer. Yeah, I haven't seen it before, but it's kind of nice that they're mixing stuff like that in. The deadlift has been in a lot of CrossFit competitions before. There's obviously been a lot of like hip hinging type things, but that just brings a whole another, you know, on a deadlift, you have potential to hurt your bicep and to do this and do that. But with that sandbag lift right there, I mean, that is, if you don't do that the correct way, yeah, you're going to get banged up pretty bad.
Yeah. And that's like a CrossFit competition, whatever, that like you can't really clown on. Not saying that you can clown on any of it because all of it's really fucking hard. But like, I forgot which guest we had on recently. They were talking about like throwing a softball as far as you can in one of the events. And it's like, well, how is that? But I mean, it is, but it's like when you think of strength sports, you don't necessarily think of that.
Right.
And then I was looking up some other events that they had, and it was like they were on a GHR doing sit-ups, but throwing a ball as far as they could, and they had to go chase the ball. I didn't pay attention to exactly what was going on. But with that, I think we all can understand how difficult that actually can be to pick up just like a bag of dead weight. It's uncomfortable.
Andrew, look at pull up Men's Sandbag Ladder 2022. You'll see it. It's like an hour. It's a long ass video. And at the timestamp, 1 minute or 1 hour, 6 minutes. I think that's Justin Medeiros doing a 350 sandbag.
Men's Sandbag Ladder. What was the timestamp?
105:55.
1 hour.
1 hour, 5 minutes, 55 seconds. Or just 1 hour, 5 minutes, 50 seconds.
This guy's a monster.
Yeah. And he also sleeps on an 8-sleep mattress.
getting that recovery.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, he, you know, again, these guys are like 200 pounds. Look at the mullet.
Oh, the mullet.
He's going into it, some class. You know, keep in mind that, too, like, again, this is in CrossFit competition. This is after they've done a bunch of other shit. On top of that, this is a sandbag ladder. So this is just one of the lifts. He did a bunch of lifts previously to get to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Was this one of the events where, like, only a couple people were able to actually do the lift? Or did a bunch of other people do it in, like, a slower time or something?
Knocked
like
out
that?
A few people, like, just couldn't, like, you know, I think you keep it gets going.
To, yeah, it's a ladder, and so it gets to certain weights that, yeah, mm-hmm. people start to fall off. But it's really fun to watch this kind of stuff because sometimes when you're watching, say, like, powerlifting, you watch powerlifting and you'll see three guys go up to a deadlift bar and one guy selects 633 pounds, the next guy selects 666, and the next guy select 733 or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're not lifting the same weight, so you don't see the direct competition. But when you set things up like a ladder, which they did for the men and the women at the CrossFit Games this year, you lift the same weight. I think sometimes in strongman you can start at different weights. Like if I'm stronger, I could choose to wait until you start picking up something heavier. But for the most part, you got to lift the same weight. So if all three of us are going, it's like we all have to lift the 200-pound bag, then mm-hmm. the 220, mm-hmm. and you start to see like, oh, shit, I wasn't expecting that. I didn't think that guy was going to fall off. He wasn't able to do it. Oh, shit, the other guy's still going. Like, this mm-hmm. is amazing. And you get to really watch it, and you become I think it's helpful in terms of, like, being a fan of a sport. I actually wish that powerlifting would do – they call it, like, a round robin. I wish powerlifting would do something similar. But sometimes powerlifting for each lift – sometimes there's somebody that's that much further ahead of everybody else that it makes that same setup mm-hmm. kind of difficult.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, like watching like strongman stuff. Not interesting, but it just like whatever the event is, you just assume like, oh, this is what they do. But every once in a while, there's an event that's stacked up against everybody. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, shit, nobody even completed a full rep or whatever it is. So it's like, well, how close did everybody get? Then you start, like, breaking it down by that, and it's like, fuck, dude. Like, some of these things are set up so difficult for these people, and it's like we don't even think about it that much.
mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a kind of last man standing situation, yeah. which I think is, again, that makes it easy to get behind, makes it easy to, like, root for. I saw a post by Cameron Haynes, and I was able to listen to the podcast with Chris Williamson on Joe Rogan. And I left a comment on Cameron Haynes' Instagram, and then it kind of sparked up and got some decent traction. I didn't say anything – I don't think I said anything inflammatory. I was just basically saying that I didn't really agree with the vantage point that there's a bunch of stuff that I don't agree with when it comes to the making of a quote-unquote successful person or quote-unquote great person, athlete, people that we put up on a pedestal in our society. I don't think there has to be suffering that goes on with the person. Some people may disagree. They might think that that's like a part of the ingredients for it. However, it has happened. It happened many, many times. There's thousands of athletes that have that as the case, Mike Tyson being one of them. And then there's just a laundry list of athletes that have made it and that are great. There's somebody like Elon Musk, who's a billionaire many times over, who was abused as a child. Mm-hmm. There's many, many of these cases, but it's not always the case. It's also not always the case that somebody gets pushed so hard into something that – that's all they do. That's their life. And in this case, they talked about Tiger Woods, and they talked about how he grew up. And I was just kind of thinking to myself, that's Tiger Woods' story. But it doesn't mean that you have to be like that in order to be great at a sport. I'm sure there's other golfers that have done well, and people might consider him the GOAT, but there's a few other people in the picture, and even Tiger himself would agree that there's other athletes that have – won more titles and stuff. He had a specific goal to do a certain thing and he didn't achieve it. And he's still in the hunt, I guess, trying to pursue some of that. But anyway, your life doesn't have to fall apart and be in shambles in order to be great. Like, you don't have to have those two opposites at play all the time. At least I don't think so. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about openly, and maybe we can play the clip in a moment.
Mm-hmm. You want to play the clip right now? Or
sure, play it.
Get into it. Right
here. Having a golf club in your hand at 2 years old, having a father who's maniacal and obsessed and forcing you to do this, and then getting all that time in as your body is learning and developing.
So the thing about Tiger that was interesting with his father is he would push him incredibly hard, say, these white people are never going to accept you on this course. And he had a safe word, the same way that you would do during rough sex. It was called the E word. And his dad would say to him, if it's getting too much, if it's ever too much, just tell me, just say the E word and everything will stop. And Tiger never once said it.
Wow.
And the E word was enough.
Wow. So he would fuck with him so that Tiger would get better. And he told him, look, I love you, but I'm doing this to make you better.
Yep.
And it's too much.
Roll the clock forward now. So talking about the price that people pay to be the person that you admire. Everyone would look at Tiger Woods, narrowly bound, like, I want to be as good of a golfer as Tiger Woods. And you go, yeah, okay, but do you want the childhood? Do you want to spend nearly half a decade out of the sport with injury because of how hard you've pushed yourself? Do you want to struggle with self-worth to the point where you basically can't have a long-term marriage? Do you want to be chased down this driveway with your wife in a golf club? He fell asleep at the wheel. He broke both of his legs not long ago. He's been on antipsychotics. Like, that is the price that you pay to have that degree of greatness. It's a onesie, right? It's not an outfit that you can pick little different bits about. Mm. You don't get to choose one element of someone and say, I want that. It's like, no. All of these externalities, all of the things that you really don't want, they came along for the ride as well. And that's why jealousy overall, like, do you want to take the whole outfit? Because you can't just have the one thing. Jealousy is kind of dumb.
Well,
I definitely disagree with that part where he was saying, like, it's a onesie. It's like, just because I want to have the drive and the determination of somebody like Tiger Woods doesn't automatically mean that I'm also going to be addicted to sex to where it's going to ruin my, you know, marriage and shit. Like, that part, I didn't even pay attention to that the first time you sent the video over. I don't know why I just caught that now, but I definitely disagree with that.
There's some other things that came along with, that came along after, I think. Like, I think some of those things developed, I don't really know for sure, but I think they developed later on. Tiger Woods' greatness and how awesome he did at golf was something that people got attached to long ago and seemed like a great success story. But then he ran into some issues, some personal issues, which I think are almost still aside from the fact that, like, my main focus on this in particular is not so much of what happened to Tiger Woods later on.
Got it.
Even though that is part of the story, my main focus is on, like, the way he was treated as a kid and the way he was trained when he was young and the way that it seems like at some point it led to some negative outcomes later on in his life, right? Like, it seemed like it worked for a while, seemed like he accomplished a lot of things he wanted to accomplish. And again, my main thing on this is just, that's Tiger Woods' story. I don't think this has to be the case with a lot of other people. And I think sometimes when people see stuff like this, I think they think, like, oh, that's like, I don't have a story like that. I don't have, like, a big comeback story, or I don't have that much turmoil. I didn't have a dad that, like, you know, pushed me and drove me so hard.
Or, like, I don't want to have to make that type of sacrifice to be that person. Like, why would I do that? That makes no sense. Of course I'm not going to do that. Right?
Exactly.
It is really interesting, though, because I think, like, some of that stuff does make for a more compelling story. Like, when you hear about all the things that somebody's gone through to get from point A to point B, and when you see somebody and it doesn't seem like there was a lot of potential turmoil or trouble, it doesn't seem as potentially engaging, because, like, people that come to mind are Steph Curry, who's done some insane things in the NBA at this point. LeBron James, we mentioned Tom Brady, Shaq. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these individuals are greats in their own right, but they're not people that we would think or assume have psychopathic behavior. Because at the beginning of this clip, you know, Joe was referencing Michael Jordan and was saying, he probably kind of has a mental illness maybe. Because, you know, Mike even talked about in his documentary how he's kind of crazy. Like he couldn't go without winning. He would take he would make up narratives to drive his competitive edge so that he'd be like, I'm going to kill you because this is what you did. And his opponent's like, I never did that. You know, yeah. But I mean, there's only a one of one as far as Jordan, but there are many greats who seem to have like, yeah, you make certain sacrifices in certain areas because you do have your focus and your sport and as an athlete, but they have great family lives. They're doing great by the community. They seem to be pretty level headed. They're not getting into any crazy scandals.
Right.
You can, I mean, not everybody can become a great at a sport, but if that's your goal and you're truly heading towards it, you don't have to have crazy ups and downs or just crazy turmoil to get there.
I think for some people it is beneficial. I think for some people that is their story.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Tyson being one of them. I think Shaquille O'Neal, his dad wasn't around, I think, when he was young, and Shaq's one of his things was like, you're going to know my name. You're going to know who I am. Like, yeah. You were never around, you know? And then his dad did come around later on. Mm-hmm. And it took a while for them to reconcile, I guess. But and there's a lot of circumstances like that. Like, I remember when I was coaching football, we had these kind of helicopter parents. And they're like, you know, what do I got to do to get my son, like, to the next level? And I was already thinking, like, well, it's already too late. Like, your kid's pretty uncoordinated. They don't move very well and they're 15. Like, you would already know. Like, if they're on track to do something, you would already know. But sometimes, in some cases, some of the best athletes that we've seen, they get neglected. A parent leaves or something like that happens. And the kid interprets that as maybe they don't want to be a burden to their mother. Maybe they want to be a burden to their father. And so therefore, that happened with my wife. Her dad died when she was 10. And my wife was like, I'm never going to get in the way of mom. I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to help her out as much as I possibly can. I'm, you know, she's super determined in swimming. And so she became a Division I athlete and got a scholarship and did all that stuff. Now, did she need that to happen? Maybe for her, she did. Mm-hmm. Maybe for some particular reason, that was her path. Does somebody else need that to get a Division I scholarship? They need their dad to die. Do they need to? Maybe my wife made a lot of sacrifices to be a swimmer. She's talked about them before. But my wife also drank her way through college as well and had a lot of fun, it seems like. I don't want to get into it too much. It's kind of a rough topic. But anyway.
Oh. Uh-huh.
But anyway, I think she lived a balanced life through her college years. And she was a Division I swimmer. And she became captain of the swim team. Like, she had these responsibilities and she was able to handle it. So not everybody has to sacrifice everything, even just for myself. Like, I'm not like a Tiger Woods. I don't even think I was ever great at anything. I did the best I could with lifting and some cool things happened for me. But when it came to lifting, you know, I had my kids, I had my family, my kids were really young as I was building the business, as I was doing some of the lifts that I was doing. And all hell didn't break loose for me. I mean, it felt kind of crazy here and there, but I felt good about everything. I didn't feel – there was stresses. There was things – I had to be home at certain times. I had certain obligations just like anybody else that has children. I was around when my kids were really little. I remember what it's like to miss some sleep and stuff like that. But even stuff like that, I think people are a bunch of pussies. When it comes to like having a child, which is one of the coolest things that could ever happen, it's ruined by the person being like, I ain't getting much sleep. And it's like, Jesus Christ. Well, of course your sleep's going to be a little compromised when you have a kid. So there's going to be compromises. There's little tit for tat on everything that happens in your life. But just because one thing slants one way and then has to slant the other, it doesn't always mean that that has to be somebody else's story, somebody else's way. You don't have to be like Gary Vee to be an entrepreneur. You don't have to be from an immigrant father that you saw working his ass off, that you saw good leadership from him It doesn't have to be that way. That can be part of your story, but you don't. It doesn't have to be that way. So there's many different people that achieve greatness who don't have these like deep-rooted scars. And I hear it perpetuated a lot, and it's kind of frustrating to me because I'm like, I know a lot of people that are doing really, really well that don't have those scars like that. They might have like some scars because they may have kept track of stuff. That's different. That's like the Jordan type stuff. That's like writing or taking a newspaper clipping and putting it in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Putting a chip on your own shoulder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting everyone all fired up. Like that's different. That's very common amongst people that are great. But it still doesn't mean that a huge tragedy happened, and it still doesn't mean that you were driven to the brink of madness by your dad.
Mm-hmm. If there's anything that we need to pay attention to as far as the common through line in terms of people that are great, it's not necessarily like the traumatic experiences. It's like the time that they've spent on their craft. You know, when you watch, some people aren't big fans of Dave Chappelle, but I fucking love Dave Chappelle. He's my favorite comic, man. But when you hear about like how he went to a theater school, I forgot the name of it. Well, anyway, he went to a theater school when he was younger, but he was in comedy clubs at the age of like 15. Like his mom would mm-hmm. take him to go do stand up with adults at like 15 years old, 14, 15 yeah. years old. And he was killing, like he was killing crowds at that age. So he was getting adult experiences as a kid, and he's been at that craft forever. So when people see him and people see like the success he had at Chappelle's show, and then he leaves and he goes to fucking Africa and comes back and then and does so well and just kills. It's like this man has been at this since he was a teenager. That's why he's the GOAT, you know?
It reminds me of Kobe. Kobe was playing with the 76ers when he was like 15. I mean, picture that. You're 15 years old and you're playing with like pro players all the time.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts.
Exactly. Like the biggest thing is a time thing. So if there's anything you're trying to do, we're not saying that you need to try to be the GOAT, but if there's anything that you really want to be good at, don't think that you need some type of big trauma you have to give yourself a lot of fucking time spending at it, and it might cause you to sacrifice other things like partying or mm-hmm. or doing things that all your other friends do, drinking, being up late, whatever. That might have to be your sacrifice. But it doesn't. It's not like your daddy doesn't have to beat you for you, you know, for you to be yeah. good or great. And I'm not trying to make light of abuse. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's like that is somebody else's story, but it's not everybody's. And I know what you mean by seeing it perpetuated. It
took me a long fucking time to like grow up. You know, it took me a long time. And the reason why it took me a long time is because I had a kind of soft ass life. Mm. I did. Like my parents were fucking awesome. They were both there. They both gave me hugs and kisses and kissed my boo boos. And but they were also there to discipline me and to give me good examples of mm-hmm. people and to also show me like the value of hard work and that life doesn't need to be chaotic. Life doesn't need to be angry. Like most of the stuff that I went through as a kid, most of it was pretty damn happy. It was pretty damn like my mom would even like say stuff like that. Like she would, you know, if I got frustrated or upset or something, she would just be like, oh, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You could choose to be like happier. You could, and I'm yeah. like, but I'm pissed, you know? And so it's just like I've seen those positive examples around me for most of my life. And there's things that have happened within my family, just like that happens in everybody's family, where there's you can look back and say, yeah, like that fucking sucked to go through that. I think every person experiences their own things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's like that's the secret ingredient to like becoming great, to having like these horrible things happen to you. Or again, you know, starting at such a young age, because somebody might be watching and they're like, well, I didn't start a YouTube channel when I was 7 and now I'm 33 or whatever. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody else's story. That's like Jake Paul's story.
Pat Project family, how's it going? I want to talk to you guys about Within You Supplements, which is developed by Mark Bell. The cool thing about Within You is that it's not a crazy supplement line, which has a crazy amount of unnecessary supplements. They stick to what is necessary. Whey protein, electrolytes, and the electrolytes are dope because they have amino acids and they have zinc. Then there's fasting gum. So we talk a lot about intermittent fasting on the podcast, and this fasting gum has apigenin, rutin, and caffeine, which can actually help you prolong a fast. It's really freaking cool. It was developed by Mark and Joel Green, who we've had on the podcast multiple times. So you guys got to check it out. Andrew, how can they get it?
Yes, that's over at markbellslingshot.com. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT10 to save 10% off your entire order. Links to them down in the description, as well as the podcast show notes. Right. So Chappelle went to Duke Ellington School of Arts. But when you're talking about like new parents blaming their kid for like not getting enough sleep and da da da, which I mean, yeah, you definitely sleep a lot less, but it just reminded me because school is starting up again. And so like I keep seeing it happens every year where parents post up memes celebrating that their kids are going back to school because they're just like they show a picture of the kids all sad and the parents like celebrating with like, you know, like plane tickets wine. And wine and shit. Yeah. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, dude, I fucking hate when school's back in session. But I was going to ask you guys, do you think it is a good idea to kind of do the Michael Jordan route, which is like kind of put your own chip on your own shoulder and kind of like make up your own story and like have like the hero comeback story that like, oh, my coach, you know, he didn't like me in schools. So that's why I didn't get, you know, go to the pros and blah, blah, blah. And so you build up all this shit that's like kind of made up. But do you think that that's a bad idea to do?
I don't think it hurts anything to do stuff like that. But sometimes I think like that's only going to last for so long. Mm-hmm. I think a better approach, honestly, is just to be like, I just need to be better. You go to jujitsu or you go for a run or you do certain things. And it's like, well, I could get like mad about it or I could say, oh, man, I can't believe that guy said that I'll never be a good runner. Mm-hmm. And you go out and you run every fucking day because of that. It's like, do you want to give that guy that power that he's your mentor? Mm. You know, because I think that pain is your mentor. And so like you're going to let somebody else said dictate like what you're doing every day. I mean, you could hurt yourself that way, too. You know, sometimes there's success stories. That guy said this to me and then I did that. But there's a lot of stories that people hide that they don't share with you where, you know, somebody called them a fat motherfucker and they stayed fat or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's always some stories like that. But I think, again, you know, just concentrating on just getting better. Like it's how do you get better at this? And if you are to think about how you can get better at something, most people can come up with two or three answers right away. Even if they've been doing something for a long time, if I asked you right now, how can you get better at jiu-jitsu? You can be like, well, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. Like you already know. And so I don't think that you have to, I don't think you have to be all angry and shitty about it, but you can sometimes take something that someone said or you can have a chip on your shoulder. And you could say something like, you know, Nsema being a bigger guy in jiu-jitsu, he could say to himself, you know, I'm going to show these motherfuckers I can move faster than the guy that's 180. Mm. And I'm going to fucking blow their mind with that. That's still like, to me, that's more like on the positive side than it is on the negative. But it is a little chip on the shoulder, right? Because you're like, they're not going to expect this shit from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's easy for me to say I don't like negative fuel personally. It's never been it's never helped me being fueled by anger at what somebody said or anger about what somebody or people think. Mm-hmm. Because it's I don't know, it for me, the fuel for training and jujitsu and trying to become better and the goals I have within that sport come because, number one, I really like the sport, I really like it, and I'm just obsessed with trying to become as good as I possibly can. And that's a personal goal, and that won't go away, which means it's unlimited fuel. But if my fuel was like, I remember when he said I would never be good at jiu-jitsu and I should stick with bodybuilding, I'll show him. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, that fuel is just going to run out. Like, it's just going to – that's just my opinion, though. Mm-hmm. Since I've never been good at being fueled by anger, I can't speak to that because there are some people that have the perpetual chip on their shoulder of what everybody thinks about them, and that's their thing. And if that's their thing and it's working for them, I mean, who am I to say you shouldn't do that? But I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, not letting it consume you for sure. Because
not letting it consume you, yeah.
I legit still use some fuel from high school. Like I don't even know what her name was, and I don't know what subject she taught. But she used me as an example as somebody who's not going anywhere in life. Like, she just straight up like, hey, everybody, if you want to see a loser, right there, pointing right at me. I'm like, holy fuck. Like, this is wild. And in that moment, like, I was like literally almost in tears as like the fucking bad kid in school. But then, like, since then, it was like, fuck, she was right. And then now, fuck her, I'm going to prove her wrong. And then now it's like, I'm still proving you wrong. You know, like, so it can be. But if I was sitting here, like, remembering her name and remembering, like, the subject and everything, you know, and then, like, had that shit printed on my wall somewhere, like, I think then it would be consuming me and it'd be too much.
You know, there's a time
when I would also question, like, if it really is a big driver of yours. Because, like, in knowing you, it seems like the driver for you now is concentrating on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you have like a real interest in this. You seem to love this. You want to get better at this. You want to get better at being a dad. And it seems almost like that, you know, if that did happen, but it's like, that's like more like,
it's in the rear view.
Yeah. It's in the background, and you kind of know better than to like give that too much power. Right. Like it just seems like that's the way it is for you nowadays.
Yeah. No. And cause like, I'm even bringing it up. Like, I am kind of reaching, cause like, I haven't thought about it in a while, but it did drive me for a long time it was like, fuck, was she right? And then it's like, no, I'm going to prove her wrong. And then it's like, I'm proving her wrong currently, you know, like still. And so that's why I brought that up, or the whole question was just because like, I kind of did use it, but I guess I don't use it anymore. And I was wondering like, oh, like, maybe if I tap into it again. But I remember we've had this conversation before in SEMA where like you're talking about like not allowing the negativity stuff to like fuel your workouts even. And it's like, yeah, it's not good to kind of reach onto that dark side. It's way better to be, what's it called? Like anchored to something more positive, which is what I do now.
When I played soccer when I was younger, I had a conversation with my mom once, because my dad left like a few weeks after I was born. And I had a conversation with her when I was a teenager, because I was saying like, yeah, I want to show him that like I'm going to be able to be great without him, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, why? Mm. I was like, well, you know, you raised me and you put all this work into it. I don't want to show that like I could have, I did this without his help. And but she was like, well, you should still love him. He's your dad. And it doesn't make any sense for you to like, how long are you going to do that? How long is that going to last? And when I thought about that for a while, I was just like, yeah, what the fuck? Like, why am I fueling, like, I'm going to show you, daddy? Like, and then from there, I was like, yeah, you know, like, it's not that big of a deal. It's not something that doesn't help me. It doesn't make me feel good. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped thinking about that as a reason I wanted to do well at whatever it was that I was doing. And I never used that as fuel again. Mm-hmm. And I've been good for it ever since. But you know, for some people that is the thing. You know, for some people it's like the parent that wasn't there or the love that they lost. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. For me personally, like, I've just learned that, I don't know, for me, negative fuel isn't fuel. It doesn't last very long. You know, it's not internal. You know, if I don't have a love for something, like, I really like jujitsu and I really like the physical aspects of it, that is perpetually always there. It's not going away, and it's going to keep me moving in the direction I'm trying to go.
Yeah. And I think what fueled Tiger Woods for so long too was an interest in golf. You know, I think him and his dad, I think they were both like on a mission. You know, how lost did he get in that mission, or how lost did his dad get in trying to steer him that way? At least from some of the videos and some stuff I've seen, it seems like they got lost in it a little bit together. But also, we do have to say, we've never seen anybody quite like Tiger Woods, one of the greatest athletes of all time, period, regardless of sport. He came in at a young age. He was just completely ridiculously amazing at such a young age, like a child prodigy type thing. And so what's it like to be him? What's it like to be that way? I don't know. But is it possible for somebody to play to a similar level at a young age and to do well without it being a giant negative? I think we've seen other athletes do it before. So I would, again, just say, like, I don't think things have to be that way. The Mannings come to mind. Mm-hmm. I don't really know their story a ton, but, I mean, it appears that even though their dad played professional football, I don't know how, like, you know, forced they were, but Eli and Peyton, it seemed like things were relatively positive. Their dad played pro ball. They were like, that seems cool. And the three sons, they all wanted to play pro. I think the oldest one had like a health issue. So, and he was supposedly ridiculously amazing as well. The genetics were there. The kids decided to push it as far as they could. Peyton went to Tennessee. Eli went to Ole Miss, where his dad went. And they followed in their dad's footsteps, and they made it to the pros. And they both ended up technically being better than him, even though he was like anyone that followed his career. He was ridiculously amazing. One of the actually greatest college quarterbacks of all time. He was just an incredible athlete because he could run and all kinds of stuff like that too. So it doesn't – everyone's story is going to be a little different. You don't necessarily need to have a dad that has that pedigree either. You don't need a dad that was a pro at something. In order to be great at it. I do think that if you are going to like use a chip on your shoulder from something somebody else says or does, that one of the reasons why that could potentially not be a great idea is because you might end up doing something that you really don't love. You know, like I'm going to be a better drummer than my dad or whatever. And then it's like, well, if that's not your real interest, that's probably not a great, that's probably just going to be self-destructive at some point. So we talk about it a lot on the show. I think your interest level is like the key, that one of the, you know, definitely key ingredients to being great at something, but also just a desire to get better. And just, you know, it sounds boring when you kind of put math to it and just say, I need to do this a lot. I need to do this often. And yeah, I might need to sacrifice some other stuff. But you're living your life. I mean, you have a girlfriend, you have got your three dogs at home. You have a kid, like we are all living our lives. And I think that's what makes us feel so good about, you know, getting on the show and having a voice and having the show grow and having people have an opportunity to hear what we're saying, is because I don't feel like any one of us feels like we're trapped in this box of like, I'm really locked in. I'm a jiu-jitsu guy and I'm going to win worlds and I'm going to, it's like, no, I'm still doing the podcast. I'm still here lifting. I'm still here fucking jumping rope. I'm still here doing push-ups or whatever the fuck it is that we're doing. we still all have our own separate shit going on outside of just doing this, even though this is something that we're really interested in and we want to push this as far as and as hard as we can.
Yeah. I wonder, because with like, was the book Outliers? I'm not sure.
Malcolm Gladwell?
What they were talking about, Tiger Woods and Roger Federer.
Range.
So I wonder if these tormented souls and like the tiger, oh, my camera's fucking up, so I'm going to change the camera. If it happens more in athletes that were specialized, you know, because like you hear about Roger Federer not specializing and being the best ever, but then you hear about Andre Agassi, who fucking hated tennis. It was also one of the best ever, but I think he was specializing because he wasn't allowed to do anything else other than play tennis. So he has that story where like, oh, my dad forced me to do it and I fucking hated it. And what happened though? He ended up being one of the best.
But he hated it?
Yeah, he did not like playing tennis.
That's interesting. I know. That's very interesting.
So same sport,
yeah,
but two different paths and both ended up being really good. But
I think Joe Rogan himself is a great example of some of what we're talking about. Obviously, he made sacrifices along the way.
Absolutely.
Big time sacrifices to get into entertainment and to, you know, land some of the shows that he did and then to go to Fear Factor and then to kind of springboard that into being a UFC commentary. And now he's a podcaster. But he has the biggest podcast that there is. And he didn't stop everything else that he did to be the best podcast. He didn't white knuckle the podcast. He just is like, I like having conversations with people. I think I'm going to record it. And I think while I'm going to record it, I think I'm going to get high with some of my friends and just talk some trash. It's almost like a locker room talk in a way. Like it's cleaner than that, but it's a little bit that way, right? Of just, he probably got a window into that or an idea into that. Via being backstage at some of these comedy shows, talking to his friends. He's probably like, I bet people would think this is really fucking intriguing. Me and Joey Diaz talking about fucking aliens. Like, I think this would be dope.
Aliens.
He's always talking about aliens, yeah, right?
Not having intercourse with aliens, but...
Yeah, okay. Fucking aliens. Okay.
No, the aliens usually do the probing, I think.
What's wrong with that?
No, nothing, but they usually do the fucking.
Yeah. It's funny, dude. So
they usually fucking us.
I went down this fucking YouTube algorithm rabbit hole where, like, I clicked on a Rogan clip, a JRE clips video about aliens, and now my whole feed is nothing but Rogan clips on aliens, which motivates the fuck out of me because, like, sometimes I'm like, man, do we need to talk about something other than diet today? he has thousands of videos and clips on aliens. So I'm like, all right, you guys are going to get a lot more of the same shit. But what he was talking about, he was like, do aliens actually probe us, or did somebody just want us to like assume the worst when it comes to getting abducted? Because you have to assume that their intelligence is
what
like,
are they probing?
Like their intelligence is way further. Like, are they, do they really need to stick something up our ass to learn more about us? He's like, cause if you think about it, like here, you know, on Earth, if we want to learn something, we have like x-rays, we have like a lot of other options other than just probing shit. Like, I guess an endoscopy, it's important to do it. But he was like, yeah, no, I think somebody just made up that story just to scare the shit out of people.
It shouldn't, though.
It was on South Park.
You should just go for it.
Just
relax.
You.
Relax
you
into
know?
It.
Exactly. I don't, you know, I think that's perfect.
South Park?
Yeah, it was on South Park. Getting the anal probe. I do think it makes sense. I agree with what you're saying, Nsema. So next time I'm abducted, just be like, I know what you guys are here for, you sick fucks.
Yeah, I shave for you.
Yeah, you guys are sick bastards. I knew you were going to come on this day, and it's freshly waxed. Oh, thank you very much.
Already lubed.
I've trained myself for this.
You guys remember the South Park episode where they
Whip
were
out
like...
some Vaseline.
South Park episode where they're like hailing the clitoris.
I don't remember that.
I'm gonna have to find a clip now.
Oh, sounds educational.
It does.
It does. So silly. Because the way they said it, clitoris.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but you know the whole like, you know, when I was younger, my mom would always, for example, she'd always encourage me to be, she'd be like, look at Bill Clinton. He didn't have a mom. I mean, he didn't have a dad. And, you know, the thing is, there's so many stories with so many people from different backgrounds that overcome
it. The comeback story is great.
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, it's good to look at those things and be like, okay, whatever my background is, I can do it despite this. Because some people are poor. Some people aren't. Mm-hmm. And we're in a lucky place in this country to be able to have certain things that can allow us to overcome that. So it shouldn't, you know, that whole tiger thing, I don't know. It's weird to think that you have to have crazy amounts of trauma to get to some level of greatness. You don't. And if you do, you can still get past it. That shouldn't be then a reason why you can't become great. So it's actually pretty cool looking at all the shit that happened to Tiger Woods, because if you are someone who's dealt with quite a lot of shit when you were younger or anything like that, there's still motivation for you to be like, I can still get to some form of, if I have the patience and I put the time into what I'm doing, I can still become very good or great at what I do.
And there does seem to be like maybe a pattern in some of these people that have been neglected or abused in some other ways to the point where they do a good job of getting locked in and locked onto what it is they want to be great at. And maybe like not every story is like such a tragedy, but sometimes it's somebody just growing up with like a lot less means. They just came from a different country or they, you know, there's many different scenarios and they're just trying to make the best of it. And they came from a different country. They weren't as well off. They are just trying to make the best of it that they can. And they lock in and they lock on to getting really good at something because they don't really have like something to fall back on.
Yeah.
We see that very often. But that's also just something that you can make up in your own head. You can say, I'm going towards this and I don't have a choice. You know, failure is not going to be part of my story. I'm just going to fucking keep plowing forward until I'm successful. So you can not have a safety net, and or you can pretend that you don't have one. Either way, like for myself, you know, again, growing up like upper middle class, like I had a safety net. I could have utilized it. I chose not to ever think that I ever had one. You know, I chose just to think like I don't have a safety net. I'm going to fucking forge forward and I want to figure out my own life, my own way, just because I'm more interested in that.
There we go. Did you ever find the clitoris?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys – I don't want to fuck
did
up.
Did he ever?
Oh, he did.
Oh, I did.
Okay. Oh, he found it.
Oh, I definitely
Many haven't. Many still haven't.
That's so sad.
You know? It's just a little button.
Yeah.
No, it's look how big this one is.
And get it a little larger. Wow.
The de Torres.
Oh, what the fuck is that? Somebody fucked it up. But, but that's what it looked like.
That is not an ordinary clitoris. That is a clitoris on some testosterone. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Turn a little to a little wiener.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, take us on out of here, buddy.
Right. I wish it didn't fuck it up at the end with that stupid voiceover.
That was kind of funny.
It was funny.
Thank you, everybody, for checking out today's podcast. Please drop us your comments down below. Let us know what you guys think, because I was looking at some of the comments on your comment on Cameron Haynes' thing, and you know, right away, the first one is somebody saying that it's far more common than not that somebody is on the Tiger Woods side of things, where they can't like keep the rest of their life together because they're so hyper-focused. So let us know what you guys think down in the comments down below. And please subscribe if you guys are not subscribed already. Turn on all those damn bell notifications. Follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where are you at?
It's at the top and it's hooded. At Seema Yin Yang on Instagram, YouTube, at Seema Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter.
Mark. Gotta like roll up a little bit.
I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness is never strength. Catch you guys later. Bye.